The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
All right, I'm recording.
Okay, well, what do you want me to do? I don't know what you want me to do about it.
Well, you know the podcast thing we do?
Don't take the mic. I'm not in the mood for the mic. I tell you why. I know what it's like to be a woman.
You have no idea.
Oh, don't I? I've got a very, very bad back. You've seen me walking around bent, not double, but I'm in agony,
okay.
Right? So, no, don't!
Okay, you've got a bad back, okay.
Don't
what are you equating that to? Childbirth? Because if you want childbirth,
no, periods.
I'll show you childbirth. Oh, right, okay. It's interesting you should choose that today.
Oh, I don't want to know about that.
Well, you brought it up. If you want to know what it feels like, I can tell you exactly what it feels like.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
I know.
Giving your love to just one man. Who was that? Tammy Wynette.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm all right.
She also sang D-I-V-O-R-C-E, didn't she?
D-O-V-O-R-C-E.
Are you...
I'm all right. I'm not all right. I'm tired, if I'm honest, and my back hurts.
Oh.
But I'm being very brave about it.
I just got into work and I've been here for hours, so...
I lead a very stressful life. It's hard work being... Sometimes it's hard to be a celebrity. So, the Private Eye lunch I've been invited to, it turns out I thought it would be like a buffet, so you could pop in, say hello, get out when I got anxious, which would be about 6 minutes.
Right.
I've been sent a menu to choose from, so it's going to be a sit-down do. Uh-oh. I can't do that. I can't go for that. No can do.
What if you said, I will come, but only if I get to sit next to my friend Tony Blackburn?
That would make it even worse.
Oh, would it?
No, it wouldn't. I would love to sit. If I was sat next to Tony, I'd be groovy. But I'd be sat next
to... Do you want
me
to ring them up and sort it out?
I'd be sat next to, Ian Hislop and Lembit Opik.
You won't.
Oh.
You won't be on the captain's table.
I'm a big fish.
Well...
I'm a medium-sized fish.
Mm.
I'm a trout.
You'll be next to the toilets.
Oh. Well done, dear listener. You've downloaded two crotchety old people.
Banging on. I'm not old.
Two, I'm not crotchety. This is the Best of Ian Lee podcast. And I'm hoping it's show 7. And I'm hoping that Catherine doesn't do what she did for show 6, which is just take the first 30 minutes, which, let's be honest, is when most people are listening. And we had a series of complaints online.
No, you had one from a guy who couldn't even be bothered to stay in the country. He goes on his holidays and then he's trying to make me stay late at work.
The first 30 minutes. Let's just say when Kelly Betts made a podcast, boy, she put a lot of work into it.
Oh, where's she now?
Still working for them.
Okay, well.
That's awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, hope you enjoy it. Should be a lot of fun.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
You're not the guy that used to phone up and talk about wearing trousers for 90 days, are you?
I'm certainly not.
Okay. You sure?
Of course.
Okay, all right. I'm just asking. So, right, you reckon the Grecian Wars are boring?
Well, the one particular war that Ulysses had with the... in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Because he should have been destroyed because he killed the Cyclops, you know?
You were talking about Ulysses 31, the French cartoon.
That's correct.
Where a hippie was flying through space and all of his friends got put in suspended animation.
Yes,
and once every few episodes, they'd kind of come out of suspended animation for a second, but then they'd go back. And it had, what was the name of the robot?
I forget.
No.
That's it.
It's me, no, small robot, you know, friend of Ulysses.
It reminds me of Philip Schofield.
What?
Do you remember when Philip Schofield did the
broom cupboard,
the whole song to it? You can find it on YouTube.
Anyway, right? What do you want?
Well, no, I thought I'd drop by and say hello, but you never replied to my tweet.
I don't reply. What did you tweet me? Abuse. I only replied to the abusive ones.
I gave you congratulations on your show before it started, and I said, good luck with your show.
I ignored that one deliberately.
Oh.
That'll teach you.
Oh, that'll learn me.
Anyway, Kelly Nickta!
Oh, okay then. Bye.
He's not Greek. That man's not Greek. Otherwise, he would have spoken Greek when I spoke it. Catherine's in the studio.
Hi, yes, I am.
You're right.
Yeah.
My back's killing me.
Well, you've mentioned it. Do you want me to walk on you?
I had to lie on the floor. I had to lie and expose myself emotionally. And I was lying on the floor and doing some stretches. My back's killing me. And I've got to take the boys swimming tomorrow. I'm dreading it because it's just going to be, it's going to be hard work. Daddy, let me jump on your back. Daddy's back doesn't work very well. But all the testosterone flying around Talk Sport this evening when that football match was on, flipping. They had their wangers out and they were watching the football.
When they walked past and saw you on the floor, they thought you'd taken, the missed goal very, very hard.
Yeah. No, I hadn't. I'd taken the fact that I took my dog out for a walk yesterday and it knackered my backard.
She's too small. You want to get some stilts or something?
What, for the dog?
Yeah.
Hey, can you get dog stilts?
If not, make them.
This is my thing. Years ago, when I used to live in a flat in North London and we had a cat flat, but it was put in too high. So I had to make the cat some stairs out of bootleg Kiss VHS videos. I did. I had some stairs and she'd climb up it. Because otherwise she
in a cool way.
She could kind of get out without them, but it was tricky. But she just couldn't get back in. It was too big a drop. So she had these steps made out of bootleg VHS videos. It was great. And I wanted to mark it. Oh, and here's my brilliant idea. Stay there, Elizabeth. I'll come to you in a second. 08444991000. And this is a brilliant idea, right? If you've got a cat, right?
Haven't.
No, you haven't. And now my cat just lives in my bedroom because she's scared of the dog. She's not scared of the dog. She hasn't got the time of day for the dog.
So you need a cat that works still.
What? If you've got a cat that works and no other pet, you've got to leave all the doors open in the house. Otherwise the cat would scratch. Get up and get the cat. I let her in last time. It's not even my cat. I don't like her.
My sister's got one of those cats. It's my nemesis.
Right.
It owns the house.
Well, this is a brilliant invention. And this is genuinely a brilliant invention. It's not me even doing a thing. This is genuinely a brilliant invention. And had I, 14 years ago, when I came up with the invention, not been so high, I would have, when I came up with it, I would have seen it through to its conclusion. And now I would not be sat in talk radio. I'd be sat probably in Los Angeles counting my dollars.
Right. So it is what?
It is. You get cat flaps on the back door, right? Internal cat flaps, right? No. For internal doors, right? But they are a tiny, exact replica of the door.
Like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. So you've got some doors are quite plain, but if you've got fancy doors, you'll have like a tiny version of it in the bottom. And people go, what's that for? You go, watch this. Freckles! Come on, girl. Come on. There's a good... And then the door opens and Freckles walks in going, yeah, what do you want? Just show him the cat flap door. Oh, not again. And walks off.
Here's how you make it better.
Yeah.
You attach a kind of sound thing to it so it makes a noise when they come through the door.
Yeah.
You could have a spooky haunted house noise.
Yeah.
You could have a watcher.
Yeah.
You could have a voice.
Yeah.
Or
you could have the Fonzie going, ee.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay, so me and you take that to market. I've made it better.
If anything, you've cheapened it.
No.
I don't necessarily...
Because you could change the messages.
Why would you want sounds? What about deaf people?
Cats in the room.
Oil the cat. Oil her up. Here we go.
All right. Well,
some people do that, and you shouldn't joke about it. They do oil their cats up, and away they go. And that is just...
What?
Yeah, I know. It's sickening. It is sickening. Disgusting. Elizabeth's on the line. Good evening, Elizabeth.
Just put some armbands on them and threw them in the shallow end.
Your kids, not the cat, I think.
Yeah.
Cats can swim. It's a myth that cats can't swim. Cats are bloody good swimmers. They just don't want you to know about it. That's the thing about cats. This is why I like cats so much. They're so, so devious and so cute with those little bows in their
hair. I don't trust them, I'm sorry.
Why don't you trust them?
They've got that snivy look about them.
Well, yeah, and...
I suppose.
At least they're honest about the fact that they're not telling you everything. They are honest about their dishonesty.
Yeah, but you can't put it on a lead and take it for... Well, you
could, oh, you can.
Some people do.
You can.
Some people do. There is nothing... Well, no, there is one thing greater than seeing a cat out on a lead being walked. You know what that thing is?
A rabbit on a lead.
No, a ferret. People walk their ferrets.
Yeah, I know, my friend
People walk their ferrets, Elizabeth.
I want to get a tarantula and put that on a lead. And
But it should be a lead made out of spider web.
Yeah.
There we go. And it looked like it's invisible, right? So what you could do is you could pick it up and swing it around. It looked like a magic trick.
You can't do that.
Why?
Because that's cruel.
They shatter tarantulas. They shatter. This is why you're not allowed to drop them.
Really?
Yeah, they will. If you drop a tarantula, if you hold a tarantula like hand height, adult hand height.
Don't try this at
home. Then drop it, it will shatter.
My God. How do you know that? Have you tried that?
Many, many times.
Did you do that on the 11 o'clock show?
No, I tell you what we did once, and it pops up on TV's bloopers, like these TV blooper shows, right? I have no idea what the thing was we were doing on the street. It wasn't about Princess Diana's DNA being injected into meat, which was one thing we did. We got people to eat ham, and they go, "Oh, this is nice." I go, "Yeah, it's been injected with Diana's DNA." Some of them loved it. The one we did, right, I can't remember what it was.
The people's ham.
It was something like that. We took another one. We took out, like, video nasties, right? And people, and we show them like the cover, and they go, "Oh, that's disgusting." And we go, "Well, it's just been awarded a Princess Diana's thumbs up fun award or something." This is after she died, and we put a sticker on it, and they go, "Oh yeah, no, well that's all right then, obviously, yeah, yeah." No, but anyway, I don't know what it was, but I remember I had a metal suitcase, and I had a rabbit in it, and I dropped it.
Oh my God!
That's actually a really horrific story. I wish I hadn't told that.
It is, gosh. I think a lot less of you now.
That is dark, isn't it?
It's dark.
Anyway, Elizabeth, you didn't ring up about this nonsense, did you?
No, I rang up to tell you why I had a tin of rice pudding before.
Boasting.
A tin of rice pudding, Ian.
Say that again. You've never had a tin of rice pudding before?
No, I had one before.
Before when?
Before, about 2 hours ago or 3 hours ago.
Now, was it ambrosia?
Oh yeah.
Here's the best dessert you can do, right? And it's all thanks to the guys at Ambrosia who are sponsoring this show. You get the tin of rice pudding.
You sponsor my life.
Yeah. We get the tin of rice pudding, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You get the tin of custard. You get a big bowl. You pour the ricey in. You pour the custy in. You stir it up.
No.
Whoa.
That's too much gloop.
Whoa, it is beautiful.
Do you have
beautiful.
A chocolate in it? Do you have a melt like a Cadbury's twirl in it?
Oh, you dirty woman. This is awesome, Elizabeth. And you know it's great, Catherine. And you're jealous because you haven't got the culinary skills that Elizabeth...
Elizabeth... Oh, you've seen through me.
...has clearly got.
You like semolina?
Oh, no.
I haven't had semolina since about 1982, but yeah, I like
school with a bit of jam in the middle to try and make it not disgusting, but it was always disgusting.
What is?
Oh, I like it.
What is? And it's. Well, I don't. Why would anyone come up with a dessert called spotted dick? Is that a? I know it's a real thing. It's like a sort of sponge or something, isn't it? Is that a joke though? Did they call it spotted dick because dick is penis and spotted penis is funny?
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's your language?
I'm only speaking Latin. Is that why they came? Is that what the name is, or is it? Does it like Richard III or something, which is rhyming slang for something even worse?
I've no idea.
Okay, well,
I don't like that though.
we're just exploring language. Talk Radio, talk and entertainment across the nation. Talk Radio, give it some lip. 499-1000. If you want to talk to the next guest, is Steve Hart, who is running the UK Preppers Guide, ukpreppersguide.co.uk. Steve joins me now. Evening, Steve.
Hello there.
Steve, what is a prepper?
Well, it's basically just somebody who's sort of thinking a little bit ahead of everybody else. Trying to be ahead of the game and making sure that if anything were to happen, you are prepared.
Like what? What do you think? What are you expecting to happen?
Well, hopefully nothing. I mean, that's the idea behind it.
Yeah.
It's just if you look around you nowadays, you'll see, you know, there's so much going on that could escalate and get worse and worse and worse. And whatever you say, you know, the good old government, they're not really there to help you. They're not going to help you. You're going to be left on your own. And it's going to be every man for himself. And those that have thought a little bit ahead are the ones that, you know, stand a higher chance of getting through it, whatever that might be.
What are you talking about? Nuclear? Terrorists? Aliens? Zombies? What are we looking at?
Could be anything. It could be anything as simple as the floods we had last year. You know, that was total chaos for a lot of people. And, you know, their whole life was, it was literally put on hold while the floods and everything took place and people...
But it was inconvenient. The floods were inconvenient and more than inconvenient for, you know, for the people it affected. But it's not doomsday scenario, is it? It's just getting a new carpet, a new settee scenario, getting an insurance claim in.
That's right. But that's the thin end of the wedge. And then if you carry on up the ladder... I mean, most people, the biggest problem, the biggest fear is is financial collapse. You know, I mean, America itself, who pretty much rule the world when it comes to money, I mean, they're literally trillions of dollars in debt. If they were to start to tumble and the whole world was to follow, it would be horrendous. That's one of the major things. But then you've got all the other things. You've got as well as nuclear attacks, biological attacks, terrorist attacks. You've got natural things. You know, we see tsunamis going on, earthquakes, etc. All these things have a knock-on effect. And no matter where they are in the world, they will affect us here. We saw that a few years ago with the volcanoes erupting, how it caused a little bit of chaos here. So it's just these what-ifs. That's all it is.
Zombies isn't a real thing, is it?
No.
That's not going to happen?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's very much the Americans who seem to like zombies for some reason, and it's escalated. And it has been proven that you can put somebody into a zombie-like state. Well, just look at the government.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, I'll do the jokes here. I'll do the jokes, Steve, if you don't mind.
Actually, I've got him before you.
You can put people into a zombie-like state?
Yes.
And then instruct them to, like, kill and stuff and eat people?
Well, you can instruct them to do tasks.
Flipping
heck. Not necessarily have somebody who goes around, you know, hell-bent on just... eating other humans.
Yeah.
But I mean, even in nature, I mean, spiders and scorpions, all them, they have the neurotoxins that are capable of affecting the brain. If you've got some clever scientists, they can manufacture that, and away you go. But you're never going to get to the state where, you know, people are rising from
the dead. Well, that's good. You've put my mind at ease there. How do you prep then, Steve? What preparations have you made for, let's say, there's Russia attacks us and there's nuclear bombs and there's like Russian soldiers roaming the countryside? What preparations have you made?
Well, I mean, should that happen, you know, you're going to know, hopefully, in advance anyway. But even the simplest of things, we find people aren't prepping for. That's the problem. Myself, I know that I have a certain amount of survival skills, bushcraft skills, and the ability to live off the land. Add that to having the necessary equipment that's obviously going to help you. I probably stand a little bit better chance than most people. But then again, I might be right in the wrong place at the wrong time and boom, I go up with everybody
else.
If
there's a nuclear bomb, I'm guessing you've seen Threads, have you?
No, I haven't.
Have you not seen Threads? Oh, mate, watch it. You'll love it. It'd be right up your street, right? And it's about what happens if a nuclear bomb falls just outside of Sheffield in the 80s and the government arm the traffic wardens and they go around shooting people. It's a good film. It terrified me when I was about 13 years old. It's awful. But if a nuclear bomb goes off, I'd rather be right underneath the nuclear bomb than survive, because you're just going to die a slow, painful, radioactive death.
Yeah, a lot of people would say that. And I know I'd say it to a degree, but, where there's life, there's hope and things like that. But that's one scenario that you could probably say eventually you're going to get, you're going to die because of the radiation. There's other scenarios where you still have a chance of surviving after the actual event.
So what equipment have you got? I've been on your website at ukpreppersguide.co.uk and there's loads of information and blogs and stuff that you need. I went straight to the weapons, Steve. And you've got bow and arrow, firearms, machete, then improvised weapons. And this is where it got interesting, right? The human is a soft-skinned object, and as such, just about anything can cause harm and do enough damage to stop any threat. For example, taking a standard baseball bat and adding some nails would make it deadly.
Yeah.
Have you got a baseball bat with nails in?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've got other things.
Likewise, something as small and straightforward as a ballpoint pen can become a weapon. How would you kill someone with a ballpoint pen?
That's not you. Well, you, the idea here is you're trying to. It's self-defense. What right. you've got there. It's like someone attacking you. I mean, there's lots of articles on there.
Yeah.
From articles based around, you know, martial arts theories and theories that, you know, don't be somewhere where you shouldn't be in the first place. But in this country, we had the rights to firearms taken away a long time ago.
Good.
And now we can still have, you know, semi-automatic rifles yeah. and everything, but you need to go about it legally. That's all it boils down to.
But when if there's like a war or whatever, and the government bottles it and they run off to the hills or to their secret bunkers. Then law is gone. There is no law. There is no order. Anarchy reigns supreme. Anything goes.
Very likely. That's it. Very likely. And those that can get their hands on weapons or that have already got weapons are, you know, one step ahead of everybody else. Should there be real problems, you know, and it's generally accepted that there will be people who are rather unsavoury, going around, yeah. you know, doing whatever they can.
I've seen Warriors. I've seen the film Warriors, and I know it's fiction, but you know yeah. that's the anarchy in New York City when the head of the gangs got shot, and Warriors are trying to get back to their place. It could happen, couldn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the top things that most preppers not fear, but would anticipate happening is that at the end of the day. Everybody's got to survive. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's how desperate are you going to be?
Here's a good question from Paul on Twitter. Ask the prepper if he's prepared to shoot people before sharing his food.
There's a lot of... It depends on the circumstances, because someone might be coming towards you and not necessarily after your food. They might actually be coming towards you to help you, to share their food. You don't know. It depends on the circumstances, but if the bottom line is...
Please help me, mister. I've not eaten yeah. for days. Please help me, mister. I used to be on the TV. Please help me. And would you share your food with me or would you shoot me?
I would just say, I can't help you.
Please help me, mister.
I can't help you.
Help me!
Nothing to give you. Nothing to give you at all.
Help me or I'm going to kill you.
Then now we're a different situation.
Help me!
Because you've just now threatened, you know, you just threatened me.
I'm going to spit radioactive blood on your in your mouth unless you give me that food.
Well, the fact is, if it got to that stage...
You'd shoot me.
Then I would, yeah.
You would shoot me. Shoot me to kill me or shoot me to maim me?
It depends where we are, for a start.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're trying to come into my... home, for example,
yeah,
that's loaded with essential.
I've climbed over a fence and I'm trying to get into your back area by force.
Right,
you're going to shoot me?
Well, no, exactly. Oh, yes, wouldn't you? What would you do?
It's a Steve. I'm going to think about that. Stay there 1 second. I've got to take a quick break. Be back in a sec.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
This is Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. I'm joined by Steve Hart from the UK Preppers Guide. I'm on the website, Steve, ukpreppersguide.co.uk, and I've gone to the store section, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. There's loads of books, which is good. There's the Claris LED tactical torch. There's survival bags.
Yeah.
And then there's a really sexy woman in a really sexy see-through camouflage mini dress wearing stockings, suspenders and knee-length PVC boots. Now, Steve.
Yeah.
She's not going to survive an invasion by Russian forces, is she?
Who knows? I don't know. That's purely an image there, isn't it?
It's an image.
What is it advertising?
It's advertising casual prepper wear for the modern prepper about time. Looking for some prepping-related casual clothes to wear around the house and beyond. I tell you what, if she goes out like that, she's going to catch a death of cold.
Yeah, probably will. I know exactly what page you're talking about.
I bet you do. I bet it's perhaps the most visited page on the website, Stephen.
And it's not one of them sites either.
No, it's not one of them sites. Have you got a bunker?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, well, mate, then how you, you're not going to survive without a bunker?
That's debatable. It's debatable. I mean, you think a coffin's a bunker, isn't it, to some extent? I don't feel we need a bunker. There's very few people who've got bunkers in the UK. There's actually not that many in the States. They're slightly overrated, but certainly not in the UK. We tend to work more on the theory that it's a skill thing to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a lock yourself away in a cupboard type of thing.
You've got to get out. You've got to get out there and face it.
Well, you've got to actually put as much distance between you and whatever it is as possible. You know, if there's a plague in London, you don't go wandering into London. You get as far away as possible.
Like 28 days later.
Exactly. You know, so you don't stay where the problem is and keep out of it.
We've got a couple of questions here. Jack says, can you ask Steve if he'd wear an item of clothing, tunic, socks, etc., made from human flesh? Would it ever get that far?
I don't think it would get that far, to be honest with you. You know, as if there were a major event and the population was slowly getting less and less and less, you know, you've got plenty of clothes available, haven't you?
I suppose so. Just go and do it. You can go to like all the nice shops. You can just do a raid on it. I mean, they'll be out of fashion, but you're not going to have to pay anything, are you? Money will be gone.
Well, this is it. I mean, you could mix and match. You'd be a right trendsetter, you know? I certainly wouldn't go around skinning people for their flesh.
No. Maybe for pleasure when you got bored. Like 20 years down the line when you were like bored and insane, you might be doing it.
Yeah, just whittling someone down.
Bit of fun. Lino says, can you please ask your guest how will he deal with the forthcoming robot uprising?
Oh, that is actually one of the better questions.
That's a good one.
Very, very, very good question. Yeah.
Because you can't really deal with robots, can you?
No, you can't. And there's quite a few articles on the internet now about that and about AI, you know, the new form of intelligence that they're able to put into robots now.
Yeah.
I don't think I will see it in my lifetime, and I think it's a way off yet, but it is a possibility. And for future preffers, I think there's going to be something they've got to worry about.
You need like what do they call them? An EMF bomb that disables electronics and stuff? Or a big magnet to wipe its hard drive?
Yeah, I mean, that would wipe everything then.
Yeah.
You know, in everywhere. But I mean, normally people are one step ahead of the problem. So there's normally something that will stop that. But that is a very, very realistic doomsday scenario.
Oh, flipping heck. This is getting me very scared, Steve. We've got Jamie. Jamie's called in with a question. Jamie, you're through to Steve. Yeah. What would you like to ask him?
You're right, Steve. How you doing?
Hello there.
So have you made provisions like to grow your own food if this crisis happens? And if there's like too much radiation and all vegetation is dead, would you resort to eating people if you had to? Would you hunt humans like you would an animal?
Well, the problem there is if it's a radiation situation, then everybody's going to be contaminated, whether it's human or animal. So you're actually making the situation worse. At some point, any amount of supplies is going to run out, and you're going to be forced to hunt for food or to grow your own foods. And again, if we've got a radiation situation, you're going to have contaminated soil, which will obviously affect the food, and then it will affect you. If you're going hunting for whether it's animals or anything, that food source you've got a good chance that will be contaminated. So at that point then, you're pretty much just going to be counting your days. And that's when the only time would be having a bunker where you're away from the radiation, but you've still got to manufacture your own food.
I've got a question in, and Dean's quite a regular tweeter, so I know that he's being sensible about this.
Yeah.
And it's because you have to shorten everything for Twitter.
Yeah.
He says, would you eat a dead man's willy?
This is not sensible.
I'm not very hungry.
I guess what it's a reference to cannibalism, isn't it? And I suppose if that's all that is on offer,
yeah,
last man standing. You know, what do you do?
when you get to that point, you probably find most dead bodies are decomposed anyway. So you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get much meat off of anything. I don't think I would, but you really, really don't know until the time comes. I mean, people who have been in plane crashes will tell you that, and they've eaten fellow passengers.
Steve, got a final question. This is from Andrew, and then I'll let you go. Yeah. I've really enjoyed this. UKpreppersguide.co.uk is the website. Andrew puts it bluntly and simply, how long have we got until everything goes tits up?
That's the $25,000 question. Isn't it? Hopefully a long, long time. Hopefully. It's a case of, you know, you prepare for the worst and you hope for the best. Simple as that.
Steve, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. You've been a good sport, mate. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm Steve Hart. If you want to go and have a look at his website, ukpreppersguide.co.uk. He's terrified the life out of me. I'm flipping terrified now.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip.
See, I told you that's all I was going to talk about.
Beautiful.
There we go, you see? All I did was ask him about the monkeys. As you know, I've not been very well. And one of my low points, I was in the shopping centre in Hammersmith. Not the nice one, the King... I think it's the King's Mall. Mall. King's Mall. King's Mall? How would you say it?
King's Mall. The precinct.
Okay. But it's called the King's Mall.
Or Mall.
And I was feeling pretty lousy. And Andy Partridge phoned me up. So I know him a little bit. And he was just chatting and stuff. And then I said, have you written a song for the Monkees? Because there was rumours going on. I said, have you written a song? He said, yeah. I said, no, are you going to write a song for the Monkees? He went, I've done it. I went, what? Already? He went, yeah, I've done it. Do you want to hear it? Oh, yeah. He said, hang on a second, let me get the guitar. Gets the guitar.
Aww.
He plays the song down the telephone to me on the guitar, tears streaming down my face in the King's Mall Mall in Hammersmith, feeling miserable, and one... Easily... OK, I'm debating whether he's my favourite. He's in my top three songwriters of all time, singing a song that he's written for my favourite group of all time. I mean, literally, it could only get... one or two places better than that, depending where he is in my top three.
Okay, that's a mathematical reasoning.
Yeah.
Of something that's supposed to be emotional.
Yeah, I made it a bit cold, actually, didn't
I? Yeah, a bit.
Yeah.
Don't matter, we'll cut it out.
Well, no, keep it in, because I think it shows an intelligence to me that is severely lacking for some reason. The in terms of people...
They don't realise.
Thank you. I couldn't have finished that sentence myself because I'm not bright enough.
Exactly.
Subscribe to the podcasts or listen live, 10 o'clock at night, Mondays to Fridays. You're doing a show at the weekends. Catherine's doing a show.
No, I'm having a nightmare.
This is what it sounds like. Hi, everybody. You're listening to the best of Talk Radio with me, Catherine Boyle.
Not Keith Lemon.
It's the moustache that confuses me. Do you remember on Paul Rothy's show when he was ruled about Betty from Frank Spencer? Here it is.
Oh, no, put that in.
Oh, you should do. Do you remember when Julie Hartley Brewer had Nigel Farage on show?
Put that in.
Good. OK, well, you do it then. You do it. Do what you say then.
I said, speaking of characters, he's a right one. Nigel Farage. I've been speaking about characters before. Yeah, no, I wrote that down and everything.
I think not. Well, I don't want that weak material.
And then I said afterwards, Nigel Farage there, coming over here, stealing our airtime.
Oh, yeah. I don't want that in my podcast, so let's just stop now.
Oh.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.